Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Like this theme. Still do. Just like Rob, it grows on me all the time when I hear it. But let's turn that down for a second because we start today's show with the Michael William O'Mara pick to click. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Power 105 WAVA. What's playing in Mike O'Mara's car when he's driving with his son? Huh?
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, tummy, funny, lucky gummy bear. I'm a jelly bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear.
Hi, everybody. That's right. Every day in the car.
Is this Kids Bop, or is this a real song that he seems to like?
I believe this is a real song that he seems to like a lot.
Is this Billie Eilish?
It's called I'm a Gummy Bear.
Oh, okay.
By Gummy Bear.
Oh, by Gummy Bear.
I believe so.
Man.
It's from 2007, by the way.
It's what we call a recurrent.
Yeah. It's an oldie. It's a friggin' oldie.
Gummy, 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 gummy.
Dad, please put on the Gummy Bear song. All right.
I'm 61. I'm 61. Playing this in my car. Never thought I'd have to do this again. But I do because I'm older than my daddy. And they think that I'm his grandpa.
Got it again yesterday.
At least it gave him an option. In my childhood was a lot of Radio Mundo, which was the Spanish radio, and there was no asking dad or mom what to play. It was just get in and ride.
Was it mostly news from the home country?
No, it was all local news, but in Spanish.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got another one yesterday. And it's happening so often now that it's moved from being a novelty to annoying me a little bit. So I took the young man on his Easter Monday up to hit some golf balls because I'm a stage dad. And
right.
I'm putting in the drive, chip, and putt. We'll talk about that as time goes on. And took him up there, and there's another old codger up there. And he was really excited about having my son up on the driving range and came over. And how did it start? I didn't show any real annoyance to the guy, but it went past the thing. It's happened to me like 9 times in the last 2 weeks when I've had him out and about. And this guy says to me, so they're still down here? And I'm like, I knew exactly what he meant, that this young man that's with me should be going back up north. So he's asking
down for spring break, family.
Yeah,
still
he's
down.
Asking to say, "Hey, you know, down here after Easter, because my world is about 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet." And so, I said, "Well, he's my son," and I got the
really
like,
yeah, not complete.
You know, you got to realize these people. God love them. They have procreated when they were 18 out at the farm and got married at 18 and had their kids that are now 70 themselves. And that's it. And so for a man with a white beard like Santa Claus that's up, at a place with a kid. And I don't know why it annoyed me, but usually I laugh at it and usually I appreciate it. But this particular time,
I think I know why.
Just a little bit annoying. The way the look he gave me was just like, I'm one of the wonders of the world.
No, Mike, I think
because my penis worked when I was in my 50s.
Let me ask you this: don't you think that the annoyance probably predated the really when he said, "It's not like he said out with your grandson." What he said is, "Are they still here?"
So well, he coached it with annoyance.
With annoyance, no.
No, it was not said maliciously. What was that word?
I'm trying to... Annoyance is the word I'm looking for.
How are you?
Annoyance.
All right. Yeah. All right. Up the meds. But anyway, no. It was just a situation where I got to critical mass. This was on the heels of my buddy, saying, how long are they down for? You know, it's always, right. They're always the same frame, which is get them out of our world.
Well,
you
want them out of your world. All the
I don't care about the kids. I don't care about the kids. I like it when it thins out, and if that's all people. But primarily, I want to see the people that are down here going, meh.
Yeah, you want the grown-ups out.
Yeah, I want the Camrys to leave. That's what I want. I want the Camrys to get on
the... Camrys from Indiana?
I want the Camrys to get back. I want the Toyota Camrys to get on the car carriers. That's what I want. I want the Toyota Camrys to get... By the way, that's the car. It used to be the Lincoln MKZ. It is now the Toyota Camry. Get on the car carrier because you're too lazy or too feeble to drive the car more than a mile. You know, get out there and do it. You know, I trailed a boat from Maine down to Florida. All right. Mm-hmm. I know what they're experiencing. It's a little stressful. But anyway, it was just the one that kind of kicked me over the top where and then he just stayed and talked. And he was engaged with my son.
It's jealousy.
I don't think it's jealousy.
Just... They either want to know what you got from jumping into the pool with the cocoons, like how'd you get involved? Yeah. So you have the
that's another mic for 20 years we've been making Brian Dennehy references, and it has to stop. It must stop.
I don't
stop
even
now.
Process. I don't look, I talk about it, and my son talks about it, and it is the elephant in the room. We are more than aware. He is aware that he has an older father. I'm aware that he has an older father. My wife is aware that he has an older father. Outside of that, when we're not talking about it, we're hanging and we're having a fantastic time. And I love my son and I'm an engaged, good dad that does stuff with my kid. So I'm fine with it. But sometimes, you know, you get to that third, fourth, fifth comment and you're just kind of like, okay, shut the hell up. Leave us alone right now. But other than that, life is good.
How old do you think this guy was?
About probably in his 80s.
What you should have said to him was when he says, haven't they gone back yet? He says, you know what? Have you heard the Gummy Bear song?
Oh, there you go. Absolutely. Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Right. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, yeah. Yummy, 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 funny, like I don't know where he got it from, but it was new to him, and then it was new to me.
But there's a different, I would say a frame of reference for an 80-year-old to a 60-year-old. That's 20 years. That's essentially a different lifetime to grow up in. Think about it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially for them.
I get it.
I mean, look, I'll give you a perfect example. My father did nothing for us as children because he was always gone. He decides to lead the Easter egg hunt on Sunday morning with my nephew. Of all places, where do you think he would hide the eggs? In front of my parents' house next to a very heavily trafficked road, or in back of my parents' house where they have a fence in the backyard? Where do you think you would put a hunt? For a little kid to run around.
Your father chose the place to stage the hunt.
Yes.
And I'm going to guess, based on the setup of the question, he staged in traffic.
Into traffic, the hunt went. Right. And my mom said, why would he do that? You know why he would do that? Because that's what looks best on El Facebook. Because she thought all my dad wants to do is take pictures of the little baby and the house. And it photographs better from the front than the back.
That's what all, your mom thought your dad was
that's,
doing
that's,
it for?
That's all she cared about. She goes, para sus amigos and el Facebook. And then I said, Mom, no, Dad is 80, and he's never done this with us, and he thinks you need to hide eggs in front of the house because that's the most important part of the house. That's all he knows.
I get it. Yeah. I understand. I mean, it's kids.
Yeah.
You gotta protect them. You gotta understand them. You gotta help them out, and you gotta listen to them, and you gotta enjoy their music.
When Oscar's dad was a kid, when they hunted for eggs, it was so they could survive.
Yeah. Survival, sheer survival.
Yeah, eggs from different birds. Yeah.
Some very large
seagull eggs.
Ostrich.
Ostrich eggs, the super big ones.
Yes, the big ones. What's called the gummy bear? Your whole family.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was 2007. I tried to get him, and I said, "Do you really want to listen to the government?" He said, "Well, what else do you want to listen to, Dad?" And so I put a song on for him, and you know, hopefully he liked it. So I put this on, and I said, "Listen to this. This is not as good as the gummy bear song, but I think you might enjoy it. All right, just give it a listen. There you go. Tell me if you like this. All right, enjoy this, Michael.
This is about your mother, Michael."
Yeah.
Stop it.
All right. She's beautiful as she's taking her walk. I do love this song.
Oh, yeah.
This is what's going on in my brain every day, even though I'm an old man, all right? This is really filled with rage. Get on your cameras.
Get on your cameras. Get on your cameras. Get out of here. You blue-haired bastards. You blue-haired bastards.
Sorry. I can't help it.
They're both great songs.
In their own right.
And they
Thank
are.
You.
That's right.
Music Thank you. Music. In their own right. All right. Hey, let's open up the mail. We got a lot of mail today.
Mail
let's go right
back.
To it. Okay.
Mail back. Mail back.
It's all about
mail
you, people. We asked for it. You gave it to us. We were very, very excited about the response that we had to the mailbag because we hadn't been mentioning it to you. But if you'd like to send anything, Rob, tell them how to do it, please.
The easiest way to do it is to email me, Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. You can also mail to us at but don't mail for a couple weeks because they've shut down our post office on Wisconsin Avenue. All our mail is being forwarded to Friendship Heights, and it's very inconvenient to get at it. So just email me, Rob, two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mail whatever you'd like, people. I will
P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C.
To the universe.
I'm just trying
to promote.
I'm trying to make it easy for them.
And easy for you. Easy for you.
Easiest way to get to me is Rob.
Just like when Oscar was telling you to do something for Pony and remind him, and you said love it when it's the opposite, and I hear it. He was telling you like to add a task to supervise Pony, and I heard you go, love it.
No,
and I knew you didn't love it.
No, it's easy.
There's a poem
to,
about you anyway. Don't worry. We'll get to you later on. There's a poem about you that includes you, you and your brother.
Oh, okay.
You and your skinny brother. It's about poetry. You'll I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I like that.
But anyway, send email's the best
is the easiest and most efficient way, and that's Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. And if you are old-fashioned, P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 2007.
That's where they send the gifts.
That's right.
Very excited. Do we have gifts?
Actually,
we do.
Funny you should say so.
You want to start with a gift?
Please do.
All
Oscar.
Right.
Ooh.
Love it.
All right. Look at this big boy.
Now, Mike, do you remember
like wow.
2 weeks ago, our talking Ooh. Head was named Rachel Guthrie. She was a mother of a newborn, but also two other kids. She's a nurse.
She was lovely and charming, like so many of our wonderful talking heads. Look at the
And
hooch.
She mentioned that her husband, Garrett Guthrie, he's a liquor distributor and
oh
has friends
God.
At Whistle Pig.
Oh, my.
Whistle Pig.
And it's a it's an amazing company.
Amazing.
It's an amazing company. And this
it's an
arrived
amazing
here.
Spirit, too. Whistle Pig rye whiskey.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
there
that's,
we go.
Oh. That's the gold standard,
we've
kids.
We've got some maple syrup Whistle Pig for those of you out there. Maybe
God,
you can drink that,
that's
Mike.
Good stuff. Oh, man. Put it on my pancakes.
Put
yes.
It on your pancakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you can put it on your junk. It's so good.
Right. What is that about? That. Don't put it on your wow. junk. That's a waste.
Whistle
it's a wonderful gift basket. Wonderful T-shirts.
That's just
all
incredible.
Kinds of tchotchkes, glasses.
Maybe I should wear the T-shirt. Maybe I should wear. Oh, look at the glasses.
Oh, hold up the glass. Oh, that's
wow.
a specially designed rye Boom. Sipping glass.
Boom. That is a beautiful piece of glassware right there, Mr. Scholarship winner.
So we want to thank the folks at Whistle Pig.
T-shirt.
And also Garrett Guthrie, who is friends with the folks at Whistle Pig.
That is fantastic.
Artisan coffee from Whistle Pig.
Oh, wow, that's
like
wonderful.
That?
Thank you. That's
very
real
sweet,
gift
very
stuff.
Sweet. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Let's get right to the mailbag. That's great. And thank you for those 80 proof gifts. We appreciate it. First letter says, hello, Rob. Before you and Robert III tour WVU, we have a Robert update in the
yes.
show today. Make sure you remember that Don Knotts is from Morgantown.
Oh,
like the original, I mean, not Barney, Don Knotts himself.
The man who played Barney 5.
Wow. So
Don
be
Knotts
sure to drive
Boulevard.
Down Don Knotts Boulevard when you visit. That's
mm-hmm.
really... And everybody knew it. Is there a Don Knotts museum there or anything like that?
No, but you always know where the Sunnyside Superette is where you get your kegs, Mike.
All right.
And that's on Don Knotts Boulevard.
So
Don
did you
Knotts
know
Boulevard.
Who Don Knotts was when you went there? Or did you just think it was a guy who had a street named after him?
No, I knew he was. And he was in that black and white show.
That's right. That black and white show. Yeah. The Untouchables.
That's right. Mayberry RFD. No, I mean the Andy Griffith
Show. Andy Griffith Show. And also, Mike, don't forget him in great movies like The Reluctant Astronaut.
Only you. care about that. The movies that he made were not spectacular. He was Barney Fife.
You're right.
Don't look at any of his movies.
Most famous
alum. I think we can agree that Limpet sucks.
The most famous alum is Jerry West. Bar
of Morgantown?
Yes.
Jerry West of your Los Angeles Lakers. West phenomenal. Virginia. Hall of Famer.
Did he have a sitcom?
No, he didn't have a sitcom.
Oh, okay.
I can't thank you guys enough for the Talking Head interview with your vaccine angel, Linda Herr. Thanks to her, I was able to successfully get my mom signed. Can you turn that music down just
a little bit? Of course.
A little overbearing.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to her, I was able to successfully get my mom signed up at the crack of dawn this morning through the CVS website for both of her vaccine doses. If not for your show, I wouldn't have known when those appointments go live. Love you guys, Shannon Bort. Shannon, congratulations. I got the same benefit with her after struggling with the Publix website. That was created based on the governor getting a donation to his campaign.
Lots of money.
Down here. Look, I don't know about that. To be honest, I watched
60 Minutes.
I watched the 60. I went back and watched it. And he's a slimy guy. There's no doubt about it.
I don't get that.
If Food Lion moved a little faster, they would have gotten it. Who knows?
I think that all I know is the Publix website was the dominant publicized place to get it, and they sucked. With a capital S. And Linda was able to get me into this CVS thing right away. And I kind of think maybe if it had been all drugstores as opposed to a grocery store chain that happened to give $100,000 to the governor, it might have been a little bit better. But I don't know. And I hope everybody gets vaccinated. And that's all I care about. But it's just a little hinky. There's a lot of other stuff he does that's hinky. All right. We got a poop pond right now outside of Tampa that's getting ready to spill over its walls and contaminate all the water. And they're trying to pump it out. And where are they pumping it? They're pumping it so it doesn't flood the community. They're pumping it into the water,
of course,
into the bay, which is what they did. They're pretty sure it's not radioactive. Welcome to Florida.
Do you guys
anything
down there?
Goes, yes.
Do you have mass vaccination sites too, or is it always?
Yes, that's where Carly got hers.
Okay, good.
At the airport.
That's right. That's cool.
It's frustrating too because I mean they say next, you got to run out there in between planes taking off,
and the metal detector.
That's tough. Oh my God!
For that Samsonite.
It's like okay, get it, quick! Here comes the 737. And moving right along. Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, Maddie, and the Pony, could you please wish a happy 10th birthday to my son, Sam Nace? Sam Nace. Ah, Sam. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Nace.
I listen to the show. Sam Nace.
Nace.
I listen to the show while I drive him to and from school every day. And while I think he's zoning out, he does indeed know each of you by voice. And lets out the occasional belly laugh from the back seat, such as with Mike's lobster impression last month. He loved it. What was the lobster impression?
I think it was a really thick New England accent, and it was a lobster, just, you know, doing the
best. Even though this guy has blown Rob off, I'm going to get the Jack Vale novelty and see what happens here. This is for Sam Nace. Hold on, let's see. Oh, I never do it well.
That's good.
Awesome. I like that one.
All right. I'm trying to get it. Oh God! I want to get it a real poop sound and not the squeak.
Not the squeak.
Oh, that was almost good. Sam Nace, this is for you. Jack, come on the goddamn show. Call me personally. All right. Jesus Christ.
He's very busy.
All right, hold on just a second. Let me see. Wait, I'm trying. No, it's just. All right, I need help.
That's a general statement
that I need help. Yes. I think you know that. Sam Nace, I love you. Thank you for listening to the show. Happy birthday. Let me see. Lobster. Hearing his name from you guys would make his day. Sam Nace, 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 Sam Nace.
Nace.
The Nacer, the Nace man, the man of Nacedinia, Sam Nace. He's a Nace boy. He's a very Nace boy. Hi, Sam. That's from Eric Nace in Pennsylvania. Great state. Thank you very much. Moving right along. Fellas, I've been working in beautiful Santa Barbara, California for the past week and loving the fact that the weather traffic guy on the local classic rock station, 99.9 FM, is named Pedro Moreno. Oscar, for the purposes of clarification, please explain to our listening audience that may not know just exactly that name and its significance to your childhood. Please.
Pedro Moreno was the thick cowboy-styled belt, leather belt that used to beat me as a child. And when we used to get in trouble, again, this is a different culture, different people. It's probably easier to talk to your children than beat them, but my parents had a busy schedule. So they would say, okay, go get Pedro Moreno. And we'd have to go get the belt that beat us every time. Now,
can you describe the belt a little bit?
It's your typical. It's okay. I'll put it to you this way.
Is it still around?
No.
Okay.
It's gone. It is. It was a soft shoe leather, like a light brown leather belt that was thick, and it had weavings on it, like actual etchings of leather weavings on it.
Okay.
So it almost looked like two snakes going back and forth.
Cool.
And it had a big buckle. We wouldn't get hit by the buckle, but the belt definitely.
Yeah.
It would actually pair nicely with a pair of Cognac Cole Haans. Beautiful.
Very old school to make someone go get their instrument of punishment, because I know that my grandmother with the twins were very well bad behaved kids. They would make them go out and cut their own switch to get hit with.
Pedro used to do this. He used to call into the old Big O and Duke show on 106.7 WJFK, the superstation.
He did the voice of Pedro.
And we still don't know to this day. It was a listener.
Oh, it was a caller. Okay. Yeah,
a caller.
This is Pedro Moreno.
And he would recall and remark on the times where I was beaten by my mom. And the funniest of ways where you'd forget how tragic it actually is. It was fun.
I would have done the Benicio del Toro voice. If I was Pedro Moreno, it would be the way he's like, you want to go? Okay. It's ass kicking time. It's ass kicking time. that's wonderful.
Well, I think Pedro would be, who's your No Country for Old Men voice?
That would be
Javier Bardem.
You got your Benicio and Javier Bardem.
I think it'd actually be more like Javier Bardem.
Go ahead, call it. Call it. This coin traveled a long way.
This
to
belt.
Be with you today. Call it. Call it. Anyway, that's from Richard. Thank you very much.
Wow.
I could work on that and make that better. Anton, whatever his last name is, No Country. You're obsessed with that character like I am. One of the greatest villains in the history of villains.
Yes.
Like going away. In the top three, perhaps. That good, you know?
Very good.
Call it. Call it. Now you've been waiting. You've been doing it your whole life. Oh, so you married into it. Anyway, God, that scene where he's with the store owner is like the whole movie to me. Moving right along, please wish Kelly Knight a happy 50th birthday. She and I have run thousands of miles together, listening and laughing to your show to help distract us from the mind-numbing and body-aching agony of ultra-running training.
Ugh.
Oh, that sounds tough. Rob...
Can you imagine?
You are nothing if not predictable.
You're thoroughly disgusted by it.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine the damage they're doing to their knees?
Thank you. Kelly is a... internal organs don't matter, but the knees, God forbid. Kelly is a complete nut and a monster. She enjoys long runs and seeing her husband cry. The difference between you and me, Rob, I know I'm a schlub, and I truly hate that I don't exercise enough. Mm. You, on the other hand, think exercise is disgusting.
Mike, there is a movie called The Exorcist in which a man who exercised something caused a lot of trouble.
I understand.
I'm not going to get involved, even if it's spelled different.
Thank you. This weekend, she will be dragging me on a 50-mile run to celebrate her 50 years. Nothing would make her happier than to hear a warm happy birthday from her favorite internet Uber lords. Thanks. You guys are awesome, and we both appreciate all you do to keep us mentally healthy. Jeff Knight. So let me say, Kelly. Hey, Kelly. Have a great run, and a run, and a run, and a run. How long is the miles? How many?
50 miles.
50 miles.
Yeah.
50 miles.
Very impressive.
I get tired in my car when I drive 50 miles.
How bad is it when your training length is a bad commute?
That's incredible. Hi, guys. Next letter says, a long time ago on a radio show far away, Mike asked Tom Gavin to spell...
I told you, Mike. Lot
David
today.
Letterman.
Yeah.
And he spelled it... Debbie Lamander. God rest your soul, sweet Tom Gavin.
Good boy.
Sort of sweet. That S was so funny, it burned itself into my skull and never left. A lot's happened since then, but my gratitude has never changed. Thanks for making me smile all these years, and I'm glad you guys are in the world. That's Will, JMSH. HS, JMHS 88.
That's Madison High School.
James Madison High School, class of 88. Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And Spokane Valley, Washington. Two of our listener hotbeds, everybody. Moving right along. Hey, guys, based on your recent discussion of the passing of G. Gordon Liddy, I just thought I would pass along the clip of Liddy getting a call from Mike as Regis. Not the best quality, but not too bad. Have a great day, and thanks, Alan Lovern. Rob has the tape that he didn't get for me, but a listener did.
I have the tape.
Let's give it a listen.
Actually, it sounds like it might have been captured from an AM broadcast, but it's kind of fun to listen to. I think you'll like this.
Who's this?
This is a very special call. Hello, is this G. Gordon Liddy?
Yes, it is.
This is Regis Philbin. How are you?
Hey, Reg.
How are you, guy?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm 70 today.
Hey, big guy. I thought I was calling in for your 30th birthday.
Well, thanks. You know, folks, I have to tell you that Reg, I've been on his program numbers of times, but Reg and I made a movie of the week together.
We sure did. It was a fantastic experience, Gordon.
And I, as usual, was the bad guy. I'm always the bad guy.
Not only are you a great burglar, but you're a great actor.
Thanks very much. I think I'm a better actor than I was burglar.
Well, happy birthday to you, Gordon. I wanted to take this quick call just to wish you a very happy birthday, and I hope you have many more.
Well, thanks so much. And by the way, congratulations on your fantastic success with that millionaire thing. That is really something.
Well, Gordon, we've got to get you on Celebrity Millionaire.
I'd love it.
We'd love to get you. You have great energy, and you have great wits. You're a great American.
Thank you so much, Reg. God
happy
bless
birthday,
you.
Gordon.
Thank you, sir.
You take care of yourself.
Oh, yes, indeed. I'll do that. Bye-bye. Oh, that was wonderful. He's a neat guy.
You know, Gordon, I know you know me, and you know how I love to play jokes on you.
Yes.
Well, you know, talking about wonderfully talented, that was the wonderfully talented Mike O'Mara. It was so hard for me to get in touch with Regis that I just had to come up with someone. So.
You know, he sounds exactly like Regis.
I was glad for that reaction, because when that was going on, when he was going on, I was sitting there saying to myself, what's going to happen here? If it doesn't go well, I don't... That's exactly what I thought might happen. Wow, that's the whole thing.
That was sweet.
So I came into the studio after that?
Yeah, and... You never went on the Liddy show beyond the phone call. But when we recapped it on the show...
Well, I thought I was talking to him just then.
But that was on the phone.
Oh, that was on the phone. Yeah.
And
wow.
then that
okay.
was
Hard
a recap.
To tell with the AM.
Yeah, that was a recap on the Don and Mike show, and you went on to say you were totally thrown because you had no idea that they had made a movie together. So you were just rolling with it.
Yeah, I rolled with it. Yeah. I'm good at that. Moving right along. Hey, guys, I hope all is well. I don't know if you remember this, but I'm the guy who wrote in last summer and told you that my gas smelled like a dumpster behind an Indian restaurant in the middle of summer in Death Valley. Remember? I hope so. Well, I do now.
I do.
Anyway, I have a question for Mike. I'm a high school golf coach at a rural school, and we won our first league title in the 80-plus year history of the school, and we were primed to go back last year when COVID hit. I take great joy in helping kids who have never really even heard of golf learn the sport and succeed at it. And while it has taken quite a while to build up the program, we're doing great now despite using mixed sets of 30-year-old golf clubs. Donations are always accepted. Oh, wow. Yeah. At Shafter High School in California. Anyway, we've just started up again here after our restrictions have lifted in California, and I've noticed a disturbing change on the golf course. Music. Is that your music that he wanted to put in there?
Or, no, go on.
No, go he's on. Saying
oh,
there's music.
I've noticed a disturbing change in the golf course. Music. Yeah, I know what he's talking about. Kids listening to tunes when they're on the range. When they're on the range the other day when a cart blaring Sweet Home Alabama rolled up and left the music playing loudly while we were putting. This is not a rare experience here at Municipal Golf Course where we practice, and I hate it. My question is this. What say you about this disturbing trend of playing music loudly on the golf course while playing, or is that not a problem at Cocoonville? It's done now. It's new this year, I can say, the first time where people are bringing their, you know, those small speakers have changed the world.
Yeah, those
people bringing
Bluetooth guys.
That out there. I look the other way, but at the same time, I don't do it. I'm not into doing it, but I don't. It doesn't get into my head when other people are playing it. But the one thing that's played, it's classic rock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the station, the last station I worked at playing music, classic rock. I hate classic rock now. Mm-hmm. I don't like listening to the same songs like that over and over again. But I get it. And this is Kevin Eubanks, who was a great band leader and a wonderful guy.
I don't think it's the same one.
Good luck with your golf team. Yes.
I read an article about Michael Jordan, who I guess was at some like just exclusive club in Florida where he would play music years ago now.
Uh-huh.
And the club just kept on saying, like, no, this is not what we do here.
Yeah,
he got so mad about it that he said, F it, I'm going to build my own club. He's got his own golf club now.
Yeah, it's a big thing now. People do that. And guys that are on the range put headphones in. You see a lot of it. A lot of the young guys do that.
Is it disturbing to your game? Does it affect your game?
No.
Or is it just
you know what bothers me when somebody's obnoxious about it? And cranks it up, and they come pulling up, and you hear that. It's silly, but it's always short-lived. But
it seems weird,
guys,
though, because isn't it
probably one out of the three groups I play with, somebody's got some tunes going.
But isn't part of the game always been the silence?
Yeah, it's a little bit peace and quiet, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the guys that do it that are, you know, not as into it as other guys.
Yeah,
that's the way I would label it.
We're not talking about, like, Caddyshack 2, where you've got Rodney Dangerfield, he's got the golf bag with the speakers.
That's
inside.
One.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It can be. I've heard it. Yeah. I've you know, people have cranked. There are people.
So
that,
let's dance.
Yeah, there's one guy. One guy's got a really loud speaker in his cart. He's a bit of a dick. Anyway, hello, boys. I want to start this out with a shout out to my dad, Bobby.
Bobby.
Bobby. Hey, Bobby. Taste the meat, not the heat. He's an amazing father, but more importantly, he's been a huge fan of yours forever, and your voices are the soundtrack to all of our car rides. I've even grown to enjoy the show myself. Well, that's nice of you. Your cocktail happy hours during quarantine were something we both looked forward to. Pre-pandemic last school year, I was a student worker at the VCU dorm mailrooms. One day while working in GRC, I logged in a package for Julia, and when she came to pick it up, I thought about saying something to her, but I was afraid I might make her uncomfortable. At least it was a fun story to tell my dad, since none of my coworkers would have shared my excitement. Are you getting kind of the backhand compliments throughout this?
Yeah.
Since there's not one person that would listen to our show down there. Dad, I love you. Mike, Rob, Oscar, thanks for the entertainment that I enjoyed, but nobody else did. No, I added that part myself. I hope you and your families are doing well and staying safe. Mallory Bullock. Mallory, come out and say, I listened to your dad. Say that to Julia.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
She would have appreciated. Dearest, dear one. Many months ago, a listener wrote in and asked, what's the difference between a break and a break? Is a break the actual time you take a commercial break, or is it a break each segment of the show, e.g. during the first break we discussed? That's a wonderful question. Break is it's both.
It is.
We take a break for commercials, and the first break we did is the segment of the show. Right?
Yeah, and
Rob?
Also I would say break can be used as a verb or a noun. The first break is the noun version, but we break for commercials. That's a verb.
Or if think about it in TV parlance or linear, A block, B block, C block, we just use different terms.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And actually the commercial is a break in itself. I mean, that is another portion. I would say a break is a portion of a show.
All right. So she says, I waited with bated breath because this was a question that I wanted to ask, too. And then Mike totally blew off the answer. Okay, I don't need the hate. I really don't need that. So for me and the other listener, please do explain break. Explain it to me like I was a five-year-old. Thank you, Louise Nuttycomb.
Good name.
Hey, Louise, where'd you get that name?
I think she goes by Wheezy.
Right. Break. We have to take a break pretty soon, Louise.
Isn't it just a commercial break?
Well, no. I mean, the first break, we discussed that during the first break, I will say.
Yeah.
And then time to take a break. It's a commercial break, and a break is a segment. It's both.
Yeah.
That's the simple answer, Louise.
Yeah, Louise.
And I'm sorry I blew it off the first time, but, you know, busy guy. That's the way it is. It's a decent question. Louise, how do you like that? It's a very nice question.
Okay, and I'm just going to add to this, and I know it's going to blow back on me. Wouldn't during the first segment of the show, wouldn't that make more sense than
Yeah,
than
but don't
break?
You believe that break and segment are synonyms?
Let's do it. From now on, we'll say segment. This is the mailbag segment.
All right.
God, this is a massive segment. We have to take a break. I am not kidding you. We will finish the mailbag and do some other stuff when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. And I didn't mention that we're on in Cass, West Virginia, Lahaina, Hawaii, York Springs, Pennsylvania, Nampa, Idaho, Hooksett, New Hampshire, and Charleroi, Belgium. I didn't mention that because I wanted to play Michael's Gummy Bear song.
Good song.
And then and now somebody's texting me. Isn't that wonderful? I don't even know where the phone is. We'll be right back.
The TMOS Elite Whiskey Society presents Questions for a Whiskey Drinker.
Here's a letter from Will in New Hampshire. Will writes, "Why whiskey?" Well, Will, because whiskey puts hair on your chest, not on your palms.
Check out the TMOS Elite Whiskey Society on Facebook or in bars where fine whiskeys are sold.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, the best of O'Mara.
I am T-ball crazy. I'm so excited about tomorrow morning being on
what
the
time is, what time is
9 a.m. I think he's got a doubleheader. He's got two 45-minute games, and I have no idea how the
do they call it at 45 minutes, or is it it's not done by inning then?
I will give you a full recap. I don't know what any of the rules are right now, Rob. But
why the 4 and 5 year old grade levels?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Carla told me that last night, and she, you know, I don't want to make too big a deal of that, but he's big for his age.
And you bought that fake mustache, so
yes,
no one will question it.
The fake sideburns. So he goes in tomorrow, and, you know, he's almost 5. And so he's going in tomorrow, and it's going to be big fun. And we had to get the supplies. Because of Hurricane Irma, a lot of this was pushed back. This was supposed to be September fun.
Oh, okay.
And it was pushed back to October. And we got all the instructions, and it was off to the big box store.
They send you, I'm sure, like a photocopy on green paper, and it says, this is what he needs, right?
He needs this. It was, I think it was yellow paper, Rob.
Okay,
I'm not
sure.
But it was, this is what's required. And
what's required?
Well, he needs a bat. He doesn't need a bat. He can have, they have bats, but I wanted to get him a bat because you want to practice with him.
Sure.
So I got him a little T-ball bat. He needed, required to have a batting helmet. Required to have baseball pants, little pull-up baseball pants. Required to have black baseball socks. And let me see, what was the other? And required to have a glove.
Mm. Okay.
So that was,
so he's
but
topless?
It was off yesterday.
Is he right-handed?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. He will be wearing skins and shirts. That's the way it is, yeah.
Is he right-handed? Because I know you're left-handed.
He is phenomenally ambidextrous.
He really?
He could be the switch hitter. He could go to the left side
here we go.
Or the right side. Mm. I think he could do it. I think
no sugar on your birthday cake!
Do you realize? I think it sprinkles is what he meant. But you want to not have him be left-handed because it's a sign of the devil. So what you should do is
What are you, one of my old Irish aunts or something like that? Cathogue?
That's true.
The mark of the devil?
That's
true.
In Latin America, I meant you like boys, so they tied your hand behind your back.
Oh.
You know what? In baseball now, baseball teams prefer guys to hit from either side. So
okay.
But right now,
high slugger.
Stop it! Will you stop? He's a child.
I was talking about Oscar's
it's bye week.
It's a bye week.
Yeah, it's his bye week.
It's his bye week. Well, we bought the stuff.
So dumb. You know,
it wasn't cheap either.
How much for all that stuff together? I mean, the bat was optional.
All right. Let me tell you the story
of
Dick's.
You want to talk about knowing your audience. This is you say bye week, and they bust up like they've just seen Blazing Saddles for the first
time. Pony slaying.
Yeah.
You know, when you're not playing organized sports. Anyway.
When your life lacks all structure.
Yes, when you're deprived of that. You know,
it's ones and zeros.
It's really sad. Very, very sad for these boys.
It's not binary, Mike.
That's it. So sad. So let me tell you what happens at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Dick's.
Woo! Where I found out before the show, Pony used to work.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible.
He was king.
So we go in, and immediately I realize we're probably going to require some assistance because I don't know where.
Right.
You know, what the hell's going on with them. They said, what's the right glove? What's the right size? And on the in the T-ball section, they have stuff, and they have a little sign that says package, T-ball package.
Ooh. Oh,
where you bundle. Get the glove, you get the bat, you get baseball pants,
TV, and internet, and home phone.
Everybody's got to get it, though.
That's right, everybody.
And I'm pretty sure where the stuff is, but then I want to make sure that we don't get up to the counter and bring the wrong stuff, because that's how that works. You know, they get. And by the way, the glove that's included in the package, that's a little Adidas glove, is a pretty nice little glove. And I didn't even know, you know, what kind of ball is used for T-ball. It turns out it's not a real hard baseball. Mm. It's got a little play to it. It's a little bit, it's a little softer than a regular baseball.
In case it gets into your face.
In your face. And so he's being four.
Yes. Oh, you brought him?
Oh, yeah. And he's tired. And he's running around, and you know, it's pandemonium, but pandemonium that I wouldn't trade for the world.
Sure.
I'm absolutely thrilled. And so we are trying stuff on with him. And what's great when you have a four-year-old, it's like, Carla says, Michael, try on these baseball pants. And he runs over there and she boom, takes his shorts off, bam, on with the baseball pants.
Yeah.
And they fit. Glory be to God. You know, they're fantastic. And at this point, I'm like, well, which is the right T-ball? Which is the right glove? I better get somebody. And so I walk over to the cashier. Nobody in the store,
of
by
course
the way,
not.
At like 2 o'clock. It's like 1:30. We get them out of school. It's like 1:30. Nobody's out. There are two people at the cashier chatting.
Of course.
And I said, excuse me. And they perk up, and they get on their little, they got these little
headsets.
Secret Service headsets that they all have, because it's such a large store. With, you know,
I've
everything
never seen
from
that at Dick's.
It's supposed to look like a coach tents. Thing.
Oh, like you're a coach?
Yeah, it's so lame.
Like you're a ref?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Well, they weren't wearing striped shirts though. They were wearing,
that's
like,
Foot Locker.
Regular polos, red polo shirts. So they get on their thing, and then the to describe that, I'm not going to describe the kid that came up as a slacker. Okay.
Okay.
Because he was there quickly, so I give him credit for that. But he had the level of concern and product knowledge that everybody in those stores has. He knew nothing of it. You know, he said,
and if he knew about anything, it ain't going to be T-ball.
He didn't know anything about T-ball.
Right.
He didn't know where the gloves were. He didn't know.
He might know about extreme sports.
It was frustrating.
Yeah,
it was frustrating.
Always.
And I, we get everything. I said, where is the, are these the right gloves that he's supposed to? And he goes, and he looks, and I had already looked on the little square display where it shows you what the glove is, and read the tag on the glove. I'd already matched them, and I handed it to him. And he goes, I said, well, you see the name on the glove up there?
Yeah.
And it's the same name on the glove that's down there. Yeah, I think that'll be all right.
Oh.
That's what he says. He says, I think that'll be all right. You know, it's kind of like when we're designing an app. And so it was like, and so we get through this process, and Carla says, I'll go to check out. You take the little guy. I say, hey, we're off. And he goes, and he's in the baseball section, and he asked me a four-year-old question. Daddy, I want to see the big baseball kid stuff. I said,
okay,
well,
that's valid.
We're in the big baseball set, and he's standing next to a full-sized mannequin that's wearing a full baseball uniform with a full grown-up baseball bat. And I said, well, we're in that section. No, Daddy, I want to see the grown-up. And I realized immediately we're having a four-year-old discussion where we have those now, where he is standing next to where we should be, but he thinks it's in another part of the store.
Right.
So I don't argue with him because it's just pointless. I just take him off there, and then he sees the escalator 2 seconds later. It's a two-level store, by the way.
Wow. That's
it's a two-level store.
Big dicks.
Well, it's one of those...
I don't want to have to bleep everything again, please.
It's fine.
Just talking about the store.
Where are the energy drinks?
How was the editing? How was the editing yesterday?
Oh, that was great. That was so much fun.
So it's the escalator, and it's up to the golf section where Daddy likes to look.
Now, how does he greet that?
He's golf stuff like that. And he goes right. He's seen golf clubs before. He runs right. But golf is, I love the golf section unless I'm with a four-year-old. I can't. In any way, enjoy what I'm. There's no browsing for your boy here. Because
of course,
he's running over and he's touching things he shouldn't touch. And then we get and we're up there for a while. We're up there long enough where I think Carla's on the bottom level and she's gonna be looking for me.
Okay.
And I get back down and I see her walking along to the front of the store. I'm like, hey, we're here, we're ready. And she's like, she puts the finger up like this, and I'm like, oh, that's the index finger that spells trouble.
Like, wait a second, or something's up, right? She's just holding up one index finger.
We were in the store after everything had been selected for 32
32 minutes. Oof. We were in the store for 32 minutes while Slacker A, B, C, and their Slacker manager processed what was part of this great package, which, by the way, was a nice little deal to get everything together without paying individually retail for all these different products.
So there was a price break if you bought it as a bundle.
It was a price break as a bundle.
Okay.
And it was just like, and they're looking at us like we are trying to sneak a sneaker with plastic explosives onto a 747. And I'm sitting there, and there's this one girl. Let's call her Zetisha.
Zetisha.
Pimplemint Patty. All right. So Pimplemint Patty.
Do you think she ever did the running of the bulls in Pimplona?
I could postulate on that, but I'm not sure I want to. So Annie Agnew is sitting there behind the behind the register.
Yes.
And we have this debate going on. They go through the bat, which, by the way, I picked the right bat.
Okay.
They go through the glove, which I had asked Slacker A, which was the right glove.
Okay.
They have a bag that's included, which is
nice.
This is where they get you.
Nice bag.
We don't need a bag. You need a hand to take it out of the car and bring it over to the field. But they throw it in and you get it in the package, and it can either be a backpack or a bat bag. A long bat bag. And I'm like, it looks more baseball to have the long bat bag. This is the bone of contention here, going back and forth. Well, it was right next to the T-ball. This is going on and on and on, and it finally got down to the pants. And she says, I think those are zip-up pants, I said. And I looked at her at this point with the hair on the back of my neck, and I go, well, most are. She said, no, these are pull-up pants. I said, you mean sweats? And she said, well, yeah, probably. I said, okay, probably. So this is why we're not being extricated. I walk over, and the manager, thank God, one moment of clarity, the manager probably says, I said, they're telling me I need pull-up pants. She says, no, what pants does he have? I said, those. And I pointed, and she said, no, those are fine. And I walk back over to Blackhead, and I walk over to her, and she said, and I said, the manager said those are fine. And the eyebrows go up. The eyebrows go so high up that they actually went up to the middle of her skull.
Wow.
As though I was telling her something that had never before been said. That had never, ever before
You're
been
wrong,
said.
You're wrong, lady. Like,
yeah. Oh, really? And then she gets on that little douchey microphone hanging Secret Service thing and said, these are the... And you hear, and you hear the manager go... Oh. I can actually hear the manager's tone, which is, who gives a shit? I'm sorry. That was the manager's. That was the manager's. No, but because I think ultimately they were the same price.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah,
and, move the product.
And so we extricate ourselves, and I can't remember the joke I made. I made a joke. I was trying to be funny, and it didn't go over with either my wife or with the prison matron at the checkout counter, and we were free, wish she'd been that age, because by that time it would just be some pockmarks.
Okay,
you know, that's what it would be. So
memories of another time.
And I left there saying, you know, look, we love our, and this is not a plug for Amazon, but it's a plug for Amazon.
Okay,
this is why these places are going to be dust in 5 years. This is why they're not going to exist, because who wants to go? They're going to create they're going to create methods of sizing and doing all the stuff you do, because it's just not.
Did you hear the latest with these big box stores?
What?
What's the latest?
The latest is that, you know, there's a battle between Walmart and Amazon online, right?
Yeah.
We're an Amazon family. There's Walmarts across the country. That Walmart is in talks with Lord & Taylor to start selling Lord & Taylor items on their online store. That would take like a 100-plus-year-old, you know, department store.
Yeah. Just to update it and get Lord & Taylor. Because Lord & Taylor wants to be out of the game. Lord & Taylor wants to be out of the hassle.
And put it online. And Nike is now selling, and this is a big deal, especially for younger generation. Nike, before, when you wanted to buy something from Nike, you had to go to Nike.com, right? Or you had to go to their flagship stores. Mm-hmm. If you want to get their exclusives, now you can get them all on Amazon. Like, these brick and mortars are dying.
Well, they're dying because it's just, there's no effort to make it Streamline.
If we're talking about dicks, I've walked into dicks before, and it's like they don't want the business.
Exactly.
It's seriously like they're chasing you away.
Modell's, which is gone, by the way. Modell's was great. You'd walk in, and there'd be some kid in his like late teens or whatever it was. He'd be up your ass, be like, do you need help with that basketball? No, it's a basketball. I know what a basketball is.
Exactly.
Do you need help with that? I'll take that all day.
Got stuff. I'll tell you that. They got stuff as far as the eye can see. And they also had three customers in the store when I was in there.
Yeah.
A two-level massive store. And when we got out of there, I said, this is why it's happening. And so we had a babysitter coming over so we could go out to the movies last night. And we go to the early afternoon movie. So we had a babysitter coming at 3:45. And it's like 2:15. And that's when he says, Daddy, I want to go practice now. And that was when I normally don't spoil my kid. I really don't spoil my kid. But at that point, I said, no, I gotta take him out to the
if he wants to do it,
field. And that's when we had fun. And it doesn't take away from how excited I really am and just how this is a whole new chapter, you know?
But, you know,
I've lived to T-ball.
Oh, my God, benchmarks.
Yeah.
Yes,
benchmarks. And you might be the last living customer to ever shop at that Dick's. Pony. You could be a piece of history.
Pony.
Mike, do you know what almost got me fired from Dick's Sporting Goods?
I want to hear this, Pony.
You. It was you.
How did I do it?
I used to sit in my car on lunch breaks listening to Don and Mike, especially when you would do Charlie, and I would hide in the back with a radio, and my boss made a no Don and Mike rule.
Oh, my God, no!
I quit.
What? Wow.
Like specifically tailored to you? Was that what it was about? Was
She said no more radios. No more radios in the store.
Oh, my God.
Because I was the bike mechanic, so I would go to the back and work on bikes. Listen to Don and Mike.
Couldn't you figure it out where you could listen to it in your Secret Service headset and no one would know? You're smart.
No, I didn't get one. I was not a cashier.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't go to cashier college.
Imagine what it would be like if Charlie worked at it. If Charlie worked at Dick's,
Would you like some T-ball supplies or would you like a kayak? Have a good day, suckers.
Anyway.
Expensive?
Oh, Charlie.
Was it expensive?
You'll have to ask Charlie that. Oh,
hey, Charlie.
How expensive is
Hello,
T-ball?
Boys.
Huh? Charlie, how expensive is T-ball?
Let me see. It was a bat, a glove.
Yes.
A baseball pants.
Yes.
A special bat bag.
Yes.
$1,000.
Let's open up the audio vault for today. Take it away, Rob.
Who is the captain now?
Oh, dear.
Digital.
Oh, no.
Doctor. Digital.
Fun is the best thing to have.
Dumpster.
The digital dumpster.
Audio oddities and digital diversions. Don't miss the digital dumpster every day on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The best of O'Mara.
This gentleman's been with us as a listener for a very, very long time. And I think early on, many years ago, we actually spoke to you because of your phenomenal run on Jeopardy. Josh Frumkin, thank you so much for taking the time to talk Jeopardy with us today. Let's give him a round of applause.
Thank you.
Yay, Josh. How long have you been listening to the show?
Goes back to 1990 when you guys were on JFK. My friend Roy, my brother Seth, my wife Alicia, we've all been listening for every day for a very long time.
Not too long,
but it's been it's very surreal to be in here. I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, you know, you've interacted with us and we've interacted with you over the years. I know that. And on Friday, when I was having my 50th discussion about Jeopardy with this guy James Holzhauer, who is just very, very interesting, I said, well, let's get Josh to come on the show and talk about it, because the interesting thing about this run that this guy is having on Jeopardy is that there's a segment. I'm not alone in this.
No, not at
all. There's a segment of the American public that I don't think was there for Ken Jennings. There's a segment that thinks this guy's up to something, just based on his demeanor, based the way he looks at the camera.
The funniest line
was from my wife when he tells this lovely story about his grandmother coming over from Japan, didn't speak a word of English, and they watched Jeopardy together. And I said, that's a really sweet story, and Carla doesn't miss a beat and goes, yeah. It's a little too sweet. And it was just there's something about this guy. But first of all, for you, Josh, I would imagine just being on that show and being part of it, it's got to affect you about the word about Alex Trebek a little more, that he's battling this. And I know we're all pulling for him, you know, but you being there, at, you know, that's gotta be kind of a more of a gut kick for you when you heard that news, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I taped over 2 days, came back in the, or won the last game of the first day and came back. So I spent those are the two, you know, my wife might listen to this, so I guess I should say my marriage, the birth of my daughters or something, but I mean, those are probably the two best days of my life for, I mean, and he's obviously a huge part of that. So it is, it's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, it stinks. We were just curious about this buzzsaw, and we talked about, the first thing I want to talk to you about is buzzing in, because you see these more now than I think I've ever remembered. I watch it really much more than I used to. I'm very, very into it. When you see the people like Rob's doing right now with the clicker, and it looks like some of the people are really wrestling with it. How important is that? And it, just walk us through the process to do that. Well, you actually won a championship there. So, I mean, that's a big deal to be able to not only get on Jeopardy, but then to win a game is pretty special. How important is that clicking? Clicking in there.
Yeah, so the buzzer is everything, basically. I mean, it's because it's how you ring in and you get answers, questions, whatever, right? It's how you control the board. So if you want to get daily doubles, and what they say, I guess, is that most of the people, if you've made it through the online tests and the auditions and everything to get on the show, most people that have been on the show know 80-85%, something like that, of the information. So it really is just about, you know, how fast can you get in there and get that stuff. And then if you have some sort of niche categories or whatever where you can rack up also, but it the buzzer is most of it. And my first game, I mean, I honestly think I won that almost entirely on buzzer speed. Like I was so fast that it was sort of a shock and awe thing, I guess, where the other contestants, you could see as the episode went on, their faces of just like, I can't. And I think this is what's going on with this guy too. Like, I can't get in on this guy. Like I'm trying and he's always a step ahead of me.
What does the button feel like? Does it click? Is it a soft button? Is it, and I see there's, you know, they do the repetitive clicking. So it has a good spring.
It's a stress ball. Yeah.
It looks like a stress ball to me.
It's like, it's probably, you know, probably like most TV sets, it's probably cheaper than you think it, you know, but it's, right. It's like a tube with a button, like almost like a pen, I guess.
Okay.
Like
all
a click around a pen or something.
And is the key to wait till the last word of the question? Is that when you're supposed to do it?
So Alex reads the clue, and then there's right in front of the audience, there's a table with producers and writers where like the judges are, all that kind of stuff. And there's a guy there who has a button in front of him. When Alex finishes reading the clue, there's a guy presses a button and these lights light up on the side of the board. And that's when the buzzer unlocks. If you buzz in too early, you're locked out for about a quarter of a second. And so they tell you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they tell you hit as much as possible.
You have a light cue?
Yeah, exactly. And so,
can I? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm geeking. I feel like Kevin McCarthy here. I'm really going to geek out now. When you're looking, so you're reading the clue. And you have to visually see the light at the same time. Is the visual clue, the text of that, located close to where the lights are? Or are there multiple sources of where you can read the clue?
So the clue is on the board itself, just, you know, just like you see it, a screen.
Close enough to decipher it.
Yeah, although I am like sort of borderline with glasses and I wore contacts just to be safe, because it's not right in front of you. But it's right there. And so, yeah, basically you have, while Alex is reading, you have that much time to figure out if you know the question that you're going to, you know, the response, figure out if you want to buzz in.
Wow.
And then as soon as he finishes, they hit the lights and you go. So there are people that will time it off of when he finishes speaking, just assuming that the guy's going to hit the button right then. I figured that my peripheral vision, because you're looking at the clue. And
yeah, that's what I was going to say, because you don't see the eyes.
Right.
You don't see the people, because the eyes would be shifting.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to see it with your peripheral.
Right. So I figured.
Cool.
So I figured my peripheral vision and my hand-eye coordination, I guess, were good enough that I was just going to go off the lights and I was going to be faster. And I was faster than everybody.
So with your contacts in, did you read ahead? Like, you would have to use Alex almost as like a spacer.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to determine before he's done reading, you're already in whether you know or not.
Right. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I play. There are people. So when Ken Jennings was on, which is like 15 years ago,
Years ago. Yeah.
When Ken Jennings was on, you would see him. He'd actually buzz in and then figure out the clue. I remember watching him, and he, I guess he just knew so much. He would just betting buzz to get himself. The timing. He'd bet on himself to figure out the clue, and then he'd go. But I was not that confident. I mean,
so it's a light thing.
Yeah.
And obviously, if you, and I would imagine there's a bit of rhythm to it.
Yeah,
if you've got another guy that's like hitting the light when he's done reading the clue, you have to be kind of in sync with him and know his rhythm. And that's a tough job the guy has. Well, I guess it's not really tough. You just wait till he's finished and press a button. Not
it's probably
that big a
deal. His cousin, Sam Trebek. Who Sam just got, we're going to get you a job on the set, Sam. It's not tough. When,
now, you were, you what, were you 10 years ago? Was it were you
six,
10 years?
6 years ago.
6 years ago, December you were 12, on the show. Yeah, how? What kind of shape, what kind of condition is that old fossil Johnny Gilbert in? The guy that goes, this is Jeopardy!
It's crazy.
I would think
timeless,
that he's like in an iron lung or something. How old is Johnny Gilbert?
He's old, and he was wearing his like satin, right, studio jacket.
He still wears
jacket,
that satin jacket, right?
Yeah. And he's doing, I mean, it's amazing to like, and he's doing, you know, he's practicing before you go on, he's practicing the pronunciation of the names. And so it's crazy to hear Johnny Gilbert say your name. I mean, that's, you know, that's just like sitting here with you guys.
I want to get back to James Holzhauer in a minute, but I want to ask you first some nerd questions about you. Yeah. So interaction with the host, you hear about these quirky long-term hosts that are now divas of biblical proportion. They are diva. How much prior to the game, during the game, after the game, how much contact do you get with Trebek?
You get almost none. You don't see him until he comes out. He goes by, so he obviously does the interview segment. He comes by during the first commercial break and takes a stands next to you to take a picture that you can, you know, they'll send you. And then afterwards, during the end credits,
is there any speaking allowed when he's taking the picture?
Barely. During the end credits, you like chat a little bit, but he is, you know, he's
stifle,
doing his
Josh,
job.
Stifle.
Yeah. Think how many episodes he's had to do with you.
But the whole thing is, you know, it goes back to, you know, Charles Van Doren, right, passed away last week. And it goes back to the quiz show rules. It's all about, you know, there's so many regulations about who you're allowed to talk to. And their whole point is Alex has the answers and therefore you can't talk to him because he, you know, could, I guess, give up the answers. When you're there in the studio, they don't even let you wave to your family, talk to your family, anything like that, because
the signals.
Or anything, because they know that the contestant producers don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. And those are the only people that they know for sure don't have the answers. And so they are totally crazy about you.
They
can't
firewall
you have to be escorted everywhere. Like, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Wow.
So that brings us to James Holzhauer and all this speculation about what this guy's all about and all that. You kind of have answered the question already about the protocols that are put in place for, you know, where I started to get a little suspicious were the questions about just pop culture from my era, which normally would not be all that easy to find in books, really. You think under penalty of death, there would be no way that this guy would be able to pull it off. You think this guy's legit?
Yeah, I think he's legit. I mean, there are people that know unbelievable. I mean, I still play. We go to pub trivia, and you know, it's not like we're wearing badges that say, you know, Jeopardy champions are rolling.
That's really
pub
slumming
like,
for you.
We go, yeah, you know, we go.
Yeah, but then when you walk out with a toast, you know, how many toasters do you have? I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Hasn't paid for a drink in 10 years, Mike. Hasn't paid for a drink.
I had half off of every meal at Bennigan's for a very long time. there are guys, I mean, I'm above average, I guess, but there are guys who know it's insane the things that they know. And not only that, but they have their phones up and they have flashcard apps on their phones and they just put everything into flashcards. And there's, you know, they're fun to hang out with at parties because every second they have their phone up and they're just going through flashcards, like looking at, but these guys who know, I mean, there's this level of like elite trivia competitor that know everything.
And okay. So you talk about it in that term, those terms, when I think of people on Jeopardy, I think there's so much literature involved in Jeopardy. And I would think that you would almost, it would be essential to be vastly well-read prior to going. I mean, that would be kind of a common thread between contestants. Is that accurate? Because I look at my son, I go, see those people? If you read a lot, you continue to read. And, you know, we're disc jockeys, so we don't. We don't even read instructions for stereo cabinets. So, it's like the last book I read was James Patterson's, and it was it was an easy assignment because I read it in half an hour, which was, you know.
But not a lot of clues
book.
On the board for that.
Short chapters, all invented for the DJ.
Yeah.
Short chapters,
Sharp chapters. Yes, sir.
And 24-point font. I was going to offer you a Jeopardy clue if you'd like to answer it.
Okay, I'm ready.
Right, we go to the board. It says, he'll be 95 years old this July.
Who?
The answer? Who is Johnny Gilbert?
95.
He's 94.
What?
I know. He's the same. He's like the same
age as Alex.
He's concurrent with Barker. He's 8 months younger than Bob Barker.
Did he look 90 when you saw him?
He's an old guy, but he stands.
He stands in a blue mountain, or is he like ambulatory? Like, is he walking around?
No, he like stood there at his microphone and said people's names.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Probably have a couple beers.
TMOS.
2, 3, 4.
A full-bodied podcast.
Sometimes wine.
With earthy tones of pop culture and a bouquet of comedy, wit, and sarcasm.
Do you drink every night, Pony?
Yeah. I'll have a martini about 5 o'clock.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Sometimes 4 to 6 beers.
A drinking show.
4 or 5 drinks.
With a radio problem.
How am I alive?
Watch the live feed weekdays at MikeO'MaraShow.com or download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The Best of O'Mara.
By the way, when you had your moments where you got to tell your little stories for your 2 nights on Jeopardy.
Oh, 3, right?
Three, yeah, I was on 3 because I won 2. Yeah. Rob's giving me PTSD
with the music.
About that.
Right.
Josh begins to sweat when he hears this. Oh, it's Final Jeopardy! What was your Final Jeopardy category when you were a champion?
So my first one was 20th Century Dramas. My best was my... So you asked about being well-read. So...
Yes.
The second one was 1920s literature was my second Final Jeopardy. And right before I had gone, I haven't read any Fitzgerald, Joy, I haven't read any of that stuff, but I studied the plots of everything just in case. So they asked this, the clue comes up and it's like when this title structure, it's this thing about a book and this something collapsed and killed all these people. And I didn't even know who wrote this book, but I had watched all of these bad movies. I decided 10 years ago, actually 2009, Rotten Tomatoes came out with this list of the 100 worst movies of the decade.
Wow.
And I decided I was going to watch every single one of these movies. And one of them happened to be an adaptation of The Bridge of San Luis Rey by Thornton Wilder. And so this clue comes up and I sort of got I thought my jaw dropped on camera. It doesn't look like it on camera. I was like, oh my God, this is what they're asking. And my wife hates it to this day because when she asked me, why do you do dumb stuff like that? You watch these bad movies. Well, it made us $6,000 because I watched these
there
bad movies.
There it is.
So, wow.
There it is. Absolutely.
Mike, I remember this vaguely, though, because that night, that second victory of his was right after a Mike O'Mara Show Christmas party at your home in Manassas. And,
oh, no.
And it got you to be. We watched it together.
Oh, did we really?
Yeah. And it was in your TV room. And I remember there was a lot
Was I passed out?
I remember you and I, it was a lot of, everybody be, hey! Everybody be quiet
because
he's on, hey!
Because we didn't know, because Josh had let us know he was going to be on, but he couldn't tell us if he was going to win or not.
But I remember watching that
and he won.
Victory with you and a lot of yelling
Josh
and drinking.
Josh won the game to listen to the show. He won.
What is a winner? Shut up, everybody. Look at him win.
By the way, Jimmy, thank you for my laugh out loud moment over the weekend. Probably totally politically incorrect, but Jimmy sent me a little message yesterday. Is it appropriate to drink a rusty nail today? That was not funny, but it was funny. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate that. Back to Josh. Anyway, yes, totally politically incorrect. I'm sorry, Catholics. I'm a fallen cat. That's messed up. Yes, it is. So, Josh, you're a former champion. A lot of the scuttlebutt about this guy. James Holzhauer, you take almost extreme, not impossible. Nothing's impossible. You never know. What is your impression of Holzhauer watching him on Jeopardy with this magnificent run of his?
Yeah, I mean, he's playing the game to a point that I don't think, I mean, obviously nobody ever has. I brought some stats. So he's averaging $71,000 per episode. Ken Jennings averaged about $34,000 an episode.
Amazing. He goes all in all the time.
Yeah, right.
He bets the daily double.
So Jennings won $2.5 million in 74 games, and Holzhauer would break it in 36 games. He'd break the record. If he kept winning, he's up to 12 now. So if he kept winning, it's insane. But there is
the level of fearlessness about this guy is what stuns me.
Yeah.
He will be in the second half. He will be in the double round, daily double round, double Jeopardy, and he will go all in early in that game if he gets a daily double, which just stuns me. He did it on Friday night, where he hadn't gotten up to his usual lofty level, and then he puts it all in, and I'm like, oh my God, you've got like $8,000. You're going. It's fun to watch him play the game. He's fearless.
He's a professional gambler, and he has this. I mean, certainly did not, you know, I was fearful. He's a professional gambler and he has that attitude of just, he's going to keep pushing and he has confidence in himself and it's crazy. Yeah.
Did you get any daily doubles when you were playing?
I did. Yeah.
And what was your strategy going into that? Did you have to be painfully aware of where you stood against the other players? And
yeah.
What was your strategy?
So they have, if you're facing the board to the left, they have where the scores are.
Okay.
You have a couple seconds, I guess, to decide what you want to bet. And so, it was, you know, just based on the category mostly. I was not as aggressive as I probably could have been. And
right.
When I saw a couple of the clues pop up, I was angry at myself for doing
How
that.
How much but, of a pucker yeah. factor, like, oh, before, oh my God. Before you go into the street, the very first game, I would imagine the pressure is, you know, this is showing your brain on national yes. television, and you could have, you know, I feel so bad for the people that go under zero, you know, they get into negative numbers.
It's you like, won't Peggy, be joining sorry, us. You won't be,
you won't
joining,
be joining
us, for
us
final
in
Jeopardy.
The final round. Because you're too stupid. Go back to Oshkosh and, it's just, it's an amazing, are you a pretty unflappable guy? You seemed unflappable when I could lie and say I remembered watching it, but I was obviously drunk at my party.
I mean, I think I put on a good show. I mean, I didn't eat for like a day and a half before I went on there. I'd slept for like 2 weeks. I could barely sleep. I was so, but you know, once I got there, first of all, everybody's nervous because they're, you know, it's sure. crazy for everybody. And I figured, look, this is my shot. Like I'm going to regret this for the rest of my life if I don't go in there and just sort of get myself together. And I was able to calm myself down and sort of get in a rhythm. But it's, you know, people were going outside and taking smoke breaks every 5 seconds and people were, you know, not being able to work the buzzer because they were so nervous. And those are obviously the people that, you know, aren't doing well. But it's, you're under the lights and it's nuts. Yeah.
You never did the like ding, 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 like people do where they put it almost up to their chin and they're going, ying, 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 ying. Because, I mean, once you don't get in, you don't get in. Yes, Oscar. I was hoping you'd have a question.
Well,
Oscar,
you guys are, you know, just doing all kinds of things all over. I was just like, well, I'm just going to wait till Josh is toweled off and then I can ask a real question here.
I'm sorry. I'm into Chase, it, man.
Josh. Mm-hmm. Is it harder the day after winning to actually come back? Because then you have more pressure as the champion.
Yeah, absolutely. So not only was it hard, so I flew home right after I won my first game and was home for the weekend. And my wife made fun of me because she was like, everywhere I went, she was like, do you think you're the only Jeopardy champion in this room? Like, she was just like busting my balls like every, because I was so full. I've never been more full of myself in my life. And she's like, I remember at one point she threw me the keys to the car and I like put my hands up because like, this buzzer thumb is worth $17,000. Like, don't
hurt the moneymaker.
Right, yeah, seriously.
That's
too
funny. So I went back. I flew back out for the next, you know, tape day.
Is that normal, by the way, for people that are East Coasters to fly all the way back and then?
They tape 2 days a week. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah,
right.
They tape
so
2 days a week.
It's not uncommon to go back to your regular life.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right, and had to lie to people at work about why I was going because you can't tell anybody. So, so I got there and I.
What was your excuse for flying back to Los Angeles, but you couldn't say that you were going back to Jeopardy?
So I said that I got bumped the first week and didn't make it, which
Smart.
Nobody believed.
That's good, though. Whatever. That's good.
They're like, they wouldn't fly.
Sure, Josh. Way to go, pal. See you next week. All right, we hope we see you in a month.
I step up to the champions podium for my second game, and the board's there. And what I didn't know is when you're there, right before Trebek walks out, he's standing right behind that board. So I'm like getting myself together. I'm taking deep breaths and I look and Alex Trebek is standing there smiling at me and my brain just left. Like the first category of my second game, I just stared at the board. Didn't even try to buzz in. Was totally out of it.
Got overwhelmed by the moment.
Totally
is that
overwhelmed.
What happened?
Yeah, and then I got a couple of. There was a category on like snacks or something. There was like a question about like Chef Boyardee, and I got in and like kind of like got my bearings and got into a rhythm and you know and won again.
Okay,
totally. Yeah.
Who knocked you off? By the way, do you remember the person, the evil person that knocked you?
Actually, she lives in Silver Spring. She's a friend. So
many people from
the
DC area on that game.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And I was winning going into Final Jeopardy. I proud to say. I led after every round that I played, after every Jeopardy and Double Jeopardy, I led. And then the last Final Jeopardy question, she got it and I didn't. So,
but if she really did beat you, she's probably more of an acquaintance than a friend.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Just checking.
Of course.
So what does he say? I'm such a nerd.
No, you're not. This is so great.
This is my only really embarrassing. So what does he what does he say when he comes over after you win? Does he just say congratulations and walk away? Or does he say, come out to dinner with me?
So the first game
That's how I fell halfway through that question.
We're going over to the smokehouse. Would you like to come? Come on, Josh. Come to the smokehouse with us.
So we took a schwitz in the sauna, but
yes.
It's very brief, obviously. So
the first game, nobody got Final Jeopardy, and he was disappointed. He was like, we want people to get these right, and I was like, I was freaking out. I had like 17,000 and the next person had 5,000 or something like that. So I knew I was going to win. And so as soon as they went to I was like, I'm going to win Jeopardy. And I was just, oh my God, like could not focus at all. I picked up the pen and basically pretended to write something on the screen because I thought that like everybody's watching me. So I ended up writing a question mark and pretended to write other things because I felt self-conscious.
How much did you wager? Yeah.
Like $1,400 the first time, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, so you made sure guaranteed. I was good. That's going to be an amazing.
It was a bad
right
category
there.
For me too. Yeah.
So with Whole Sour, you think the potential is there to? I mean, I haven't seen any slowdown with this guy. Do you think the potential is there to knock him off? I always think that maybe his riverboat gambling will be his undoing, where he will just be too cocky and do it at the wrong time. But the guy seems invincible. He goes down to zero, and then he comes right. He marches right back. He's a buzzsaw.
Yeah, I think that's exactly. I mean, I think it's a couple. Yes, the gambling. It's got to bite him at some point. He bets so much on things. It's got to. I think it's got to get him at some point. And his buzzer timing is really good right now. And so I think it's going to take somebody who has the buzzer timing to hang with him to try to get those daily doubles so that he can't, you know, go all in and push himself ahead. And then luck. I mean, I can't imagine what it must be like when you're a contestant, you watch, you know, they tape five in a day and you watch all of those other episodes taping sitting in the audience. So if you're a contestant and you're watching him rack up $130,000, whatever, like you got to be going in there thinking like, it's going to take luck for me to win. That's a bad place to be, you know.
Nice to meet you, James.
Right. Yeah.
Hello, your name is James. My name is Lamb. Nice to meet you. Come to the slaughter.
Well, that's awesome, Josh. Yeah. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We appreciate that.
Hey, mates. Did you hear the latest bonus show?
Ah, Schmoll, it was a cracking good one. Yeah, can you believe what Mac did this time?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, that. What a bleeding idiot.
Hey, guys, what are you going on about?
Schmingo, we're talking about the Mike O'Mara bonus show. Have you heard it?
What the bloody hell is a Mike O'Mara bonus show?
What? You mean you aren't subscribed? Yeah, don't be a git, Schmingo. You've got to subscribe to be in the know. Schmoll got me a subscription last year as a Gary Krimble gift, and I was just chuffed about it.
What goes on in your mind, man? Look, act naturally and purchase a Mike O'Mara bonus show subscription today. Go to MikeOmaraShow.com and click on the bonus packages banner at the top of the page. Oh, all right, I will. And so will all the good little boys and girls listening to this record. Right, lads, back to recording. Hit it, Schwan.
The best of O'Mara.
Without further ado, let's open up the audio vault for today, Tuesday, August 29, 2017, Rob Spreewer.
Speaking of the hurricane, do you remember the guy on Fox News who did those semi-racially insensitive rants on the O'Reilly show? His name was Jesse Waters.
I hate that guy. I hate that guy.
Well, you brought up that the people on Facebook were arguing about whether or not the planes were really submerged at the airport.
Yeah,
the fake pictures. Look,
I don't begrudge somebody posting that. They got duped, but very quickly people shot it down, and it's a fake photo.
Well, for the last eight years or so, there's been a Photoshop picture of a flooded highway with a shark on it. We've seen it every hurricane, and it's got almost
hack level,
like a meme, right?
Hack
a
level,
meme, right?
A meme.
So Jesse Waters goes on Fox News yesterday and talks about all the horrific things he's seen because of the hurricane.
I've seen some amazing things out there just looking at television over the weekend. Alligators on people's back doorsteps. I saw a shark on a highway.
So they actually show
my God.
The
okay.
picture.
Do you need anything more? Do you need anything more?
No.
Do you really need anything more about this guy? This pit bull, this hitman that used to work for O'Reilly, and they've given him the keys to the castle at Fox News. What a dirtbag idiot.
Well, that's he's a good fact checker.
You saw a documentary, Sharknado.
Yeah. The resources. You know what the bottom line is? They don't have resources.
No, they don't.
Oh, God. I can't believe that.
I saw a video of two girls with one cup. This hurricane is horrible.
You seem to have
horrible.
That as a theme today. My
Just
God.
Thought of it Whoa. So it would work there. Mike, her name is Becky Garfinkel, and she proved something that I've said for a long time. Don't trust pre-bagged salads. The stuff you buy.
You've been championing that for some time.
I don't trust them because they go bad, and I think they're fluky, and the carrots are never right.
Buy the head of lettuce and break it up yourself.
You save money too.
Yeah,
so she goes to Target.
That's the last word in.
Buys a bagged salad, right? And she finds a nearly dead frog in it. That's bad enough, but there's a happy ending. Listen to how they save the frog.
As I'm pulling to go stab another bite, I see a frog sitting in my salad plate after I've eaten almost the entire salad, completely freaked out, screamed, threw up afterwards because, traumatizing, I'm a vegetarian, so to me, I couldn't believe there was a frog in there. He noticed that he was kind of not moving a lot and he rolled over. So he decides, let's do some chest compressions. And with his finger, I'm not kidding you, barely pushes on the little frog and he breathes and turns around and I'm like, okay, we have to keep him. And he's made it through a lot with the packaging and making it all the way here and surviving being in the refrigerator and the vinaigrette.
So he brought the frog back to life with chest compressions. I think that's pretty fantastic.
Pretty awesome.
By the way, can I share this, please? Yeah. For all of those in that particular demographic, I think it goes anywhere from maybe 13 all the way up to 30. All right. Mm-hmm. The word like, bring it over here. Bring the word like.
Okay.
L-I-K-E. Bring it in. Yeah. Take it out of your vocabulary. Give it to me. I'm going to put it right over here. There we go. Try to do it with my daughters. I'll try to do it with all kids.
Carrie's already started with her class.
Take the word like out of your vocabulary.
Carrie, on the first day of school, said, is your birthday like June 16th or is it June 16th?
There's a lady that ought to be in the school.
Here.
Yeah. Hey, Carrie,
and let us close with this, Mike. We have an exclusive, interview with the frog that was saved out of that salad.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime gal. Lend me a kiss while I Baby, my heart's on fire.
He's doing great.
If you refuse me, honey, you lose me. Then you'll be left alone. God. Oh, baby, and tell me I'm your own.
Don't buy bagged salads. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Tuesday, everyone.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.